It's always a joy to be here with you folks. As I listened in Sunday school to 1 Thessalonians being taught, I was reminded of Philippians, Pauline epistles in Greek you taught at college, and I was taking master's course and challenging, and but it was down to earth and practical every day, just like what you heard this morning. And I enjoyed that class so much. This is like a home away from home. We haven't been to our home church hardly at all, seems like, since our parents passed away. And we've been here more. And it is like a home away from home. I know you folks pray for us, and there's obvious telltale signs of that. One time we came on our vacation on a Wednesday night, and you were reading our newsletter while we were here. It was quite obvious. We caught you off guard, and you were still praying for us. And thank you. And God is answering prayer. He has a special ministry for us. And I would probably say that's the biggest thing he's keeping me in the dark about. And but he answers all the rest of the prayer requests. And so we know that one's in the hopper, and in his own time will be revealed. I'll say more about that this afternoon, what I think it's going to be. But I've been wrong so many times that I can be also right now about that. Nevertheless, I know God is good. All my bills are paid. I can say that every time I've been here. All my bills are paid. God always provides for our needs, and we rejoice in that. Psalm 119. And Julie, would you look for a little special item for me? Thank you. Psalm 119, verse 17 says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath into thy judgments at all times." Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us this morning as we concentrate on you and as we count our blessings, as we are thankful. Help us look at some things that we also are thankful for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to have as a introductory story, a Bible story. And that's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. "Now there cried a certain woman," I'm reading from verse 1 now, "and there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." She said her husband did fear the Lord. He was a faithful prophet of the Lord in the prophet school and whatever his ministry was until the day he died. He had a family, a wife and two sons. He's dead now. She has some financial needs. And she comes to the prophet Elisha. And she says, "The creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me." And then he's already jumping ahead as God reveals what to say next. What hast thou in thy house? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. There was still more in the original pot. All right. So she's been pouring out of this smaller one into all these others, smaller, great, until all the others were full. And she still has some in the original. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You know, when her husband died, I'm sure if he had a time to think and didn't die instantly, he would have said, oh Lord, who's going to look after my wife and children? But he feared the Lord, so then he would have had rest and assurance from the Lord that God would. And God did. In Psalm 81, God says in verse 10, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's a thought I want us to carry through in this sermon this morning. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. God filled the borrowed vessels for this needy widow lady. He took care of her present crisis and gave her hope for the future. God wants us, His children, to bring our empty vessels to His Word, and He will fill them. I come every day to the Lord and I say, Lord, fill me up. And I used up yesterday's. I need a refill today. When we find in His Word and in prayer to Him that He can fill us up every day. Well, we can be thankful that God's Word can give you life, give you energy, give you strength and provision. We always have some pill at home that we're taking. It may be a different brand from one year to the next. But we call it the Go Juice pill. And it has in it lots of vitamins. Most all of them have a pretty shallow amount of vitamin B's, and so therefore we always have to buy more B15s or B2s or B6s or B1s or something to go with it. But nevertheless, it has other vitamins. Always has loads of A. You never had to buy extra A because all the brands seem to have an overabundance of vitamin A. And then there's minerals in it. And there's sometimes herbs in it and such. And so we always look for the best that we can get, the most we can get, the best sources of these things. And it's all into this Go Juice pill. And so we take our Go Juice pill every day. Some brands we have to double up on. They're kind of weak, but if you take two of them, it'll still do. But nevertheless, we take our Go Juice pill. Well, we can go to God's Word and meditate on it and get the juice out of it to give us more life, energy, and health, and spiritual health. And we can find this in the Lord. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God's word can give you energy, strength, and provision. We can be thankful for that. One of my favorite illustrations about this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Abijah had only reigned 3 years. He was after Rehoboam. And Solomon, Rehoboam, all right, let's start David, Rehoboam, then we have Abijah. And after the split of the kingdom, the Jeroboam takes the northern 10 tribes, and Rehoboam was left with just 2 tribes. And Rehoboam wanted all the glory of his father's reign and wealth, and he wanted what left too, the 10 tribes that left. He wanted to reign over all of Israel. And of course, he wasn't very wise, and so he lost 10 tribes when faced with the test. Jeroboam and Rehoboam had some battles, had some struggles, had some disagreements and things, jealousy and so on. But finally, Rehoboam's reign comes to an end, and Abijah is the king. As I read what there is here in Scripture about Abijah, I see a man who's who hasn't risen any further in his spiritual values and understanding and walk with God than his father Rehoboam. He might have been just going along, slowly drifting away from God, but then comes this big test. Jeroboam amasses an 800,000 army to come down on this small kingdom that could only muster 400,000 troops. And this test brings the best out of Abijah, as he realizes that he really can't beat this overwhelming army. And he has to think about a few promises of God. Hang on to them for dear life. Place his whole destiny, his future, and the kingdom all on these promises of God. He believes, first of all, that God promised to David that a son of David would reign in Jerusalem. And that happened to be Abijah at this point in time. Whether he deserved it or not, he was David's great-grandson. And God kept all his promises to David. This is a promise of God. Therefore, I'm going to trust God and this promise that I'm supposed to sit on this throne. No matter how big Jeroboam's army is, God's going to somehow preserve me and this kingdom. And therefore, he is not intimidated. Number two, he could have done a lot of things wrong, but he hadn't done all the mistakes that some future kings would. And look at Jeroboam. He instituted Baal worship in the name of Jehovah. They got a golden calf at both ends of the 10 tribes, that northern kingdom. And one in the north, one in the south, lest anybody go down to Jerusalem and worship God there. You can do it all here in our kingdom. So what? We got a golden calf. We still are worshiping Jehovah. Reminds me of a lot of phony worldly things that are done in the name of God in churches around America. Well, Abijah knows this. We haven't got any prophets or priests of Baal doing our worship services here in Jerusalem. They're all Levites. They're all priests according to the law of Moses. We're still doing this right. But not Jeroboam. And God cannot bless Jeroboam in this battle because of everything he's doing wrong in worshiping God. I know at least, and he can't take credit for it, but he knows at least we're doing this right. And he counts on God's blessing. So he knows he's outnumbered. So what does he do? He gets out on a high prominence, and I picture him having a megaphone, and he announces to Jeroboam and his overwhelming army, hey, you bring your golden calves with you. And he starts castigating Jeroboam for everything he's doing wrong. And you expect to have the victory when I'm supposed to, by the promise of God, rule here in Jerusalem according to the promise of God. Therefore, you can't beat me today. And of course, his troops. It's like some of us who in the primaries voted for Cruz, but we've got Trump. Trump's better than Obama or Hillary, you know. And praise God, we do have a vice president who knows the Lord for sure. And but anyway, here's Abijah. He's about like Trump, you know. He hadn't always done everything right, but he is the leader. And the folks that are rallied behind him, the 400,000 and the priests, they're ready to do their part to the best of their ability. God's called priests are doing their part. There are some that are going to blow trumpets today when the time is right. And everybody's ready. The soldiers have their arms, their weapons, and they're going to do their part. And they're proud that their king, though he may not be like David, nevertheless, today he's shining good. Anytime Trump had a good speech, I rallied. I was grateful. And they're rallying behind Abijah today because he's saying it right. He's counting on the promises of God. And so they're excited. And while they're rejoicing in their leader, the enemy is sneaking around, half of them, to get behind him so they can attack from the rear. Well, when the king Abijah finishes his speech, then the enemy from behind attacks, and the enemy in front attacks. And now this is an easy time to be intimidated. If the looks of being outnumbered 2-1 doesn't intimidate you, when they attack you in front and behind, that can do it. But what do? They're rallying in the Lord, and they're resting on the promises of God. And so the priests blow their trumpets, and the battle is ready. And as soon as they blow the trumpets, this is saying we're trusting in God. And we're excited about what God's going to do today. No matter how it looks, we are not intimidated. Then God steps in and gives them the victory. God steps in and gives them the victory. Look at verse 10. Of chapter 13. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. As the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. Proud Jeroboam came with his overwhelming army, but God shamed him in front of his adversary Abijah and the people who trusted in God. God's word energized Abijah and all of Judah. They were surrounded but not intimidated or overwhelmed. Next time you're tempted to be intimidated or overwhelmed, get a hold of a verse and make it your marching song. God will use it to energize and strengthen you. And then number two, we can be thankful that God's word can give us instruction and help you know which way to turn. Verse 18 of Psalm 119 says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Many, many times I say that as I begin studying for a new sermon. Or I begin my devotions of a morning many, many times. Well, God's word can give us instruction and help us to know which way to turn. When my wife was in eighth grader, and now she grew up in a Wesleyan Methodist church. Her daddy was a Wesleyan Methodist preacher. But when she was in eighth grade, her daddy was an interim pastor at a friend's church 27 miles away from where they lived. And so to begin with, the kids were still going to the Wesleyan Church in Cicero, where they lived, just out in the country there. And but then they got a new preacher there at that church in Cicero, and the one had a great youth program, but the next one didn't. If anything, he was anti-youth. And the youth began to fall away, and her brothers and sisters were allowed to find a church that they did feel fed in close by. And some were married now, the older kids. And her brother Tim, who was my age, had come to our church to a youth activity. He got saved and he started coming to our church. And she came to our church with him. She said she was becoming, that many from the original youth group there at the Wesleyan Church were becoming disillusioned by how things were going in their church there in Cicero. Well, she went to the Baptist church and up there at Tipton, First Baptist, Pastor Huffhand was the pastor there. Pastor Jack Taylor was our youth pastor. And she kept coming and kept coming. She found that the Baptists had a reason, a Bible reason for the things they did. That wasn't always necessary in the Wesleyan church, she says. As long as they had the book of discipline, they had all the reason they needed, you know. And she enjoyed the fact that everything had a Bible reason for what they did and what they believed. And she found it exciting. They had a church choir and they had a youth group and people got saved there and things like that. And she found it exciting. Well, after attending there for some weeks, her best friend in the Wesleyan Church had said, "Why don't you come to revival we were having at the Wesleyan Church here in Cicero?" So she went with her friend to the revival meeting. The pastor was shaking hands with everybody as they're leaving that night. And when he was shaking her hand, he said, "Where have you been?" she said honestly at the Baptist church. And he said, you know, they don't have what we have here, and neither will you if you keep going there. Now, she knew exactly what he meant by that. What he meant by that is you're going to lose your salvation if you keep going there. And when she got home and she went to sleep that night, she cried herself to sleep, fearful that she would go to hell because she went to the Baptist church. Well, when she woke up in the morning, she always read her Bible every morning, and so she got out her Bible and she was reading in Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Suddenly the peace of God flooded her soul, and she knew that God was in her going to the Baptist church. As she was following God's leading. And she needed to stay in the direction she was going. She had God's peace. We can be thankful that God's Word can energize us. We can be thankful that God's Word can instruct us. And we can be thankful that God's Word can be your companion. I remember I had a lion, a teddy bear. It was really a lion instead of a bear, and that I slept with when I was a kid. My brother had a dog, a stuffed dog. And so anyway, imagine this is a teddy bear. And Charity likes the teddy bear. And, you know, there's times when emotionally you like to hug something. And it feels good to hug something. I woke up once some time ago, and in the middle of the night, and the Obama scare was bothering me. Obama would always do some unpatriotic thing that would cause me to fret. And well, this time I woke up thinking about all the bad that's going to come from what he's doing now, you know. And so then I began to fret, and I could not go back to sleep, which I really, really needed badly. And I wished I could just hug someone, you know. And as I was looking at my wife and thinking about hugging her, I would have to wake her up to do that. And and I remembered, you know, she's been pretty sick tonight and she needs her sleep. So I need a hug. And so I get out Psalm 121 and I put it on my CD player and I put it on repeat. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And I just listened to that psalm over and over and over and over. And then I put on Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. And I'd listen to that psalm over and over and over. And pretty soon, I began to feel like God's Word was hugging me. I felt peace coming over my mind and soul. I felt sleepy again. I went back to sleep. There's times that God's Word is better than a teddy bear. And it can hug us. It can be our companion. It's a symbol of companionship. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Him for sins forgiven and a home in heaven? You see, you can have Him as your companion. You can have Him, and His Word will mean something to you when you turn to it for companionship, when you turn to it for instruction, when you turn to it for energy, spiritual energy, and a reason to go on one more day. You can bring your empty vessels to Him every day when you know Him as Savior, and He can fill it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for dying on an old rugged cross to pay for all our sins so that we might have eternal life by trusting in You. Thank You, Lord, for saving me when I was 15 years old. Lord, if there's somebody here today who's never made that decision, Lord, I pray while Your Holy Spirit convicts them of their need of Christ and sins forgiven, Lord, may they yield themselves to You this morning. May they come forward in the invitation and say, hey, I need to be saved. Or, Lord, may they come to somebody they know here and say, hey, would You show me from the Bible how I can be saved? Or, Lord Jesus, maybe right here where their head is bowed and their eye is closed and they feel ready, Lord, may they just cry out to You and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have Your Word on that. Lord, draw us to Yourself when we thank You that we can come to You with our need for a refill every day. Thank You, Lord, we can come to You for spiritual energizing. We can come to You for instruction and for comfort. We praise You for this in Christ's name. We thank You for it once again. In Jesus' name, amen.